2 Samuel tonight, chapter 21. We preached from the book of 2 Samuel last year, and then at the end of the year, I've kind of went into some other series, and I knew I would go back and do the last couple chapters as I had time. So tonight, I want to go back to chapter 21, where we left off, and I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of overcoming giants. Overcoming giants. If I were to ask you the name of the giant that David killed, what would you say?
Goliath.
Goliath. Good. We got some amazing Bible students. You can tell we have a Bible Institute here. Amen, Brother Paul? And we got graduates and everything here from the Bible Institute. Goliath was the giant that David killed. I'll bet you, though, most of you probably don't realize that David and his men killed four more giants after Goliath. And they are all right here in chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. But I want you to know that these four giants didn't go down as easy for David as Goliath. David needed some help because the Bible says he was faint. Look with me at verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. You remember Goliath was a Philistine. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, helped him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And so you've got this giant named Ishbi-benob, and this giant, David had more problem with than he did Goliath. And he needed some help because the Bible says he was faint. Well, that wasn't the end of it. Because behind this giant, there came another giant. Look at verse 18. It says, And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, I looked all these up, by the way, before church. I've got the little pronunciations over here in the margin of my Bible, so I got to kind of look over there. But Sibbecai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. More battles coming. More giants coming. Verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jairoregim, how you like that, huh? That's the official pronunciation. See what you learn on Sunday nights when you come back to church. Jairoregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There Goliath is mentioned. This guy's the brother of Goliath. Verse 20, and there was yet a battle in Gath. So here comes another one, another battle, another giant, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number, and he also was born to the giant. Boy, now he sounds like a rascal, doesn't he? But I tell you one thing, if they had baseball back then, he could have gripped a baseball. Amen, Brother Wayne? Man, 6 fingers, 6 toes. Wow. Verse 21, it says, And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, so that'd be David's nephew, slew him. These four giants were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of who? David, and by the hand of his servants. That's not a text you hear a lot, is it? You don't hear much about the four giants who came after Goliath. This is years later, by the way, many, many years later, after David had slew Goliath initially. These four did not go down as easy as Goliath. And I thought this message tonight would really dovetail with what we did Wednesday night on the reality of problems. And we're going to do part two of that this Wednesday night at 7 when we said, you know, people say, well, I got these problems and why did God allow this and all this? We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. But I thought this would be a great message in between those two messages on problems. How many of you tonight are saved and know the Lord? Say amen. Amen. All right, you know the Lord. In order to get saved, you had to overcome a huge giant. Amen? You had to overcome the giant of sin. Sin was dragging us down into eternal death and eternal hell, and we're in bondage to sin, the Bible says. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Maybe the giant of pride was keeping you from getting saved, you know. Maybe it was some giant of sin that was keeping you from coming to Christ and getting saved. But you know, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to you, the life of God was breathed into your spirit, and at that very moment, through Jesus Christ and His finished work, you defeated the giant of sin, you defeated the giant of death, you defeated the giant of hell. In one moment, in one slingshot, if you will, you overcame those massive giants the moment you got saved. Amen. But you know what? That doesn't mean there won't be more giants to overcome. And those giants that come along after you get saved are many times tougher to knock down than that first giant you faced. If you'll just allow me to make a little application here from the text. You know, I had a lot easier time getting saved. I mean, when I got saved, I just turned my heart to Jesus Christ. I just trusted Him. I mean, He did the work. We learned that this morning, right? He made a full atonement for our sin on the cross. He was buried. They put Him in a sepulcher. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And now we learned this morning, Paul said that if you just believe on Him, it says you'll be justified from all things from which the law of Moses could not justify you. And man, when I got saved, I just turned to Jesus Christ. It was all I knew to do. I had this massive sin debt and this giant facing me, this sin debt. I turned to Jesus Christ. I trusted Him. That's all I knew to do, was just trust Christ. And man, that giant of sin and that sin debt went down. And man, I'll tell you one thing, it was a lot easier getting saved. I had a lot easier time getting saved than I have had trying to live unto Him after I got saved. Maybe that surprises some of you, but I think if you're saved tonight, you can associate with what I'm saying. After salvation, just like in our text, here comes the giants, right, Brother Paul? Here comes the giants. After you get saved, and man, you're on this mountaintop, and Goliath's laying on the ground with a rock stuck in his forehead, so to speak. And man, you've overcome that massive sin debt, and now you're saved, and that giant is on the ground. Then here comes this other giant, and maybe it's the giant of marital conflict because your spouse doesn't share your enthusiasm for the Lord. Your spouse didn't get saved. Or maybe your spouse is saved but really isn't interested in the things of God. And so here comes these marital issues after you get saved, that giant. It could be that you have family problems, the giant of family problems. And it could be that a mom or a dad or grandma or grandpa or sister or brother, extended family, maybe your children are teenagers when you get saved, and they don't share your enthusiasm for the Lord. And so here comes the problems. Here comes the giants of family problems. After you get saved and Goliath goes down, here comes the giant of hurt feelings. Maybe you get plugged into a church after you get saved and somebody hurts your feelings. Well, that can be a giant, can't it? Maybe after Goliath goes down and you get saved, but then along comes another giant and there's some besetting sin in your life. There's some besetting habit in your life. There's some addiction that you just can't seem to get past. And now that you're saved, you know you ought not do it. You know it doesn't glorify the Lord. You know you need to drop it. You know you need to get it out of your life. But oh, how some of those giants don't want to go down. They don't want to go down. And we struggle. And we think, why can't I get the victory over this giant in my life? Maybe it's a giant of spiritual disappointments. People will rip your heart out. How many of you have noticed people will disappoint you after you get saved? Have you noticed that? People are unpredictable. I was talking about that with my mom this morning. She's got two sons in the ministry, and we were talking about that and how people are unpredictable and people will definitely let you down. Maybe after you get saved, it's the giant of discouragement. It's the giant of depression. Can a Christian deal with the giant of depression? Yes or no? Yeah. You can fight depression. So what do you do with these giants? After David and his men defeated these four giants, do you know what David did? David testified in song as to how it happened in chapter 22. And he testifies in song, he calls it David's Song of Deliverance, he testifies in song as to how they destroyed these giants back there in chapter 21. Now, I got to tell you, this thing is just chock full of nuggets. You see how long it is. You see that it's 51 verses. And it is a long, long chapter. And I got to tell you this, too, that this chapter, David's Song of Deliverance, is very prophetic. It's a prophetic passage primarily. It is a prophetic passage where David pictures the believing remnant of Israel in the last days. And the Antichrist, the giant of the Antichrist is coming upon them. And all the nations have turned against the nation of Israel. And they got all these giants they're facing. And then boom, Jesus Christ comes. And they put their trust in Christ. And He comes and He delivers them. And He saves them out of the hand of their enemies. And so this song of David is a very prophetic passage dealing with the last days and the second coming of Christ and all that. But tonight, I believe that there's some great practical application for our lives. How did David get the victory over these giants that came along after Goliath? How do we get the victory over giants in our life that come along after we're saved? I want you to notice tonight, the first principle is this. David's complete trust was in the Lord. Now, when you got saved, how did you get saved? That's a little disappointing right there. I didn't get a whole lot of answers. I hope you know how you got saved. How did you get saved? By faith. You trusted who? Christ. Did you have to do something? Did you have to run around the building 10 times to get saved? No. You trusted Christ, and He saved you. You know, there's a verse in Colossians where he's writing to Christians, and he says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? You received Him by faith. Then that means, if I got saved and I overcame the giant Goliath of this massive sin debt, and I overcame that by simple faith and trust in Christ, He said, now walk ye in Him. The same way you got saved, as you received Him, so walk ye in Him. The same way that you trusted Him to save you, it's that same simple childlike trust that you've got to have after you get saved. Look down with me at verse 1. It's at chapter 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, this is what David said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I what? Trust. That word trust means to flee for protection. Amen. To flee for protection. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. That word trust, when he said that he's the God of my rock, in him will I trust. That means to flee for protection. You know what I think of when I think of fleeing for protection? I think about Mom. When I grew up in Missouri, we had a lot of tornadoes, didn't we? And they would do the tornado alarm in the city. And if they did the tornado alarm, what we would do is we would flee into the basement of the house. And well, they don't have basements in Florida, do they? And isn't that disappointing? It really is. I guess if you tried to have a basement, it'd be a swimming pool, wouldn't it, in Florida? But man, I miss basements. I really do. I loved our basement. But we would flee down to the basement and trust in the basement. David said, God is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my high tower. He is my refuge. He is my Savior. And he said, man, when the giants come along, I flee to God for protection. I am trusting in him. And if we are to overcome the giants that we face in life, this thing of trust is of utmost importance, church. Where do you flee for protection? You see, that's a great question. Where you flee for protection is going to determine whether or not you destroy the giant or be destroyed by the giant. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of Christians who are saved. They overcame Goliath. And just like David overcame Goliath, nobody could ever take that away from him. Goliath was dead. That issue was dealt with. That issue was done. It was settled. But yet he had other giants that he faced later on. And by the same token, when we get saved and we overcome our sin debt and God puts his life in us, that is a done deal. That is a historical fact. Man, once you are saved, he seats you in the heavenlies. You've overcome the giant of sin and death and hell. And praise God, nothing can ever change that. That giant is dead. Amen? But other giants will come along. And when these other giants come along, the key word is trust, because there are many, many, many Christians who are casualties of the giants. They are not in church. They are not serving the Lord. They are not using their spiritual gifts to edify other believers. They are not having the impact that they could have for the Lord. And there are so many Christians like that who have allowed a giant to destroy them. Maybe it's some particular besetting sin, or maybe it's hurt, maybe it's disappointment, maybe it's somebody hurt their feelings. I don't know. But there are people that they allow these giants to destroy them. When you got saved, your trust, you said a moment ago, you just trusted Jesus Christ and you trusted him alone. Well, the way you overcome giants after you're saved is the same way. If there is a giant in our life, if there is a giant in our life that we are facing, the only way to overcome it is by putting our trust in the Lord, putting our trust in Jesus Christ. The same way you overcame Goliath, the same way you got saved, is the same way you're going to overcome giants in the future. Amen, church? Now, I know where our trust better not be. Number one, your trust better not be in yourself. If I start thinking I can handle these giants on my own, I'm in for a rude awakening. David's trust was not in himself. He said, in him, he's my rock, and in him will I trust. If you're trusting in yourself, man, that is the wrong place to trust. I want to show you a great cross-reference. Keep your bookmarker here and go to 2 Corinthians. And I want to show you something that Paul wrote in the New Testament. This is a great cross-reference with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, first chapter. And as Paul writes here to the Corinthian church, he's got problems. He's got some giants he's facing. And in fact, look up at verse 8. We talked about this the other night, problems, and it's a way, it's a part of the Christian life. Problems, if you missed Wednesday night, you ought to be here this Wednesday night, because problems are woven into the fabric of life. You're going to have problems. You're going to have trials and tribulations. He wrote to the Thessalonians, remember, and he said, you know, when we were with you, we warned you. We told you that there's going to be afflictions. We told you that you're going to have tribulation. He said, we warned you. We told you about this. And he said, it's come to pass. You know that it's happened. Well, Paul, he knew something about problems. Look at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our what? Come on, a little bit louder. Of our what?
Trouble.
Are we going to have trouble in this life?
Yes.
You sure are. He said, you're not ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, man, it was beyond our capacity to deal with it. It was above strength. Look at verse 9. The idea there almost is like that maybe they're trying to do it in their own strength. But then you come to verse 9. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in who? Ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Isn't that good, church? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. He's still delivering. In whom, notice this, in whom, in God, we trust that He will yet deliver us. Did y'all notice that there's three tenses there? He said, who delivered us, past tense, and doth deliver, present tense, and will yet deliver, future tense. Isn't that neat? He said, man, He has delivered us, He is delivering us, and He will yet deliver us out there in the future. We all go through problems in our lives. And I want you to imagine for a moment with me, imagine a life with no problems. I want you to imagine for a moment that since you got saved, there was never a conflict with another person. There was never a financial strain. Anything you wanted, you had it. Any house you wanted, you had it. Any car, you had it. There is not one single problem in your life. Problem free. You say, man, that'd be good. I submit to you that if that was true, we wouldn't be worth a plug nickel spiritually. Because you know the sin nature of man, we'd somehow think it was us, we'd take credit for it, and pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. If we never ever had any problems in our life, you know what? We would end up trusting in ourselves and we would forget God like Israel did. We would not seek God if we never had a problem. He said, you know, we've got these problems, but he said, you know what? They're teaching us not to trust in ourselves, but he said, these problems are teaching us to trust in the one who can raise the dead. These problems are causing us to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 28, 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Proverbs 3:5. Y'all know that one? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's a famous one, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. One time I had a Christian come up to me here at the church, and this Christian told me, he said, you know, for years, he said, I've been trying to be a good Christian. He said, but you know, I've been listening to the messages, and he said, you know, for years I've been trying to be a good Christian. He said, but now I'm letting Christ live and work through me. What was he saying? I'm learning to trust Christ instead of myself. That's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? To learn to trust Christ instead of yourself. We want to take the bull by the horns. We want to do it our way. We want to be in control. We want to be at the the wheel of the car. We want to be in the driver's seat. It's not the way it works. If you want to overcome giants, I'm telling you how to overcome giants tonight. Your trust has to be in the Lord. It's got to be in Christ. You cannot trust in yourself, and you cannot trust in friends or family. Have you learned that you can't trust in people? When a giant comes stalking you, what's your initial reaction? He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about problems. When problems come into your life, what is your initial reaction? Where do you flee? Whatever the answer to that question is where your trust is. If your first instinct when a problem comes is to pick up the phone and call your husband, you trust in your husband. If your first instinct is to call your wife, that's where your trust is. If your first instinct is to call your Sunday school teacher or your mom or your dad or the pastor or a friend or your stockbroker, wherever that call is going first, that's where your trust is, friend. And you better wake up and admit that and realize that. I want to read a passage from the prophet Micah that deals with the last days. But man, it's powerful and it's got application. Listen to this. Trust ye not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. They're sitting together. Amen. Praise God. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And this is what Jesus warned the little flock, right? In the last days, that's the way it's going to be. But then, this is the application. This is where it gets good. The next verse, you know what he writes? That sounds kind of discouraging, doesn't it? That's kind of pessimistic. Don't trust in a friend. Don't put confidence in a guide. Don't trust the person lying in your bosom that's closest to you. The son dishonors the father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. All that is kind of negative. But then the next verse says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He says, you know, I can't trust in people, but I can trust in my God. God can use people, don't get me wrong, God can use people in our lives to help us to overcome a giant. We're starting an addictions ministry coming up. Shannon's here tonight. The date on that was what? September 10th is when we're going to kick off our new addictions ministry, where we're focused on helping people to overcome giants, basically, is what I'm preaching tonight. It's about overcoming giants in your life. Things that, man, just giants that you can't seem to knock down. They just won't go down. You know, and I think every one of us has them. And, you know, I think if everybody showed up in the church, I don't think you're prepared to have 1,000 people in class that first night. But I mean, really, we all have giants that we face, that we deal with, that just won't seem to go down. We've got this addictions class to help them, but I'll tell you this much, the theme of that class is not going to be trust in Shannon. Trust in Shannon Dan, because I can help you overcome the giant. No, I'm going to tell you this, I've reviewed every single one of his lessons. The theme of that addictions class is very simple, and that is you can trust this book and you can trust Jesus Christ. And they will help you. And there's a lot more to it than that. And there's a lot of principles that he's going to give them from the Bible. But the point of it is to point him to Jesus. Point him to a relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants to see that your trust is in him. God wants to be the first one that you flee to. It's like I said a moment ago. Who do you flee to when trouble comes? Who do you flee to when the giants come? Go to Psalm. Go back towards 2 Samuel and stop in Psalm 118. Can I show you a great couple verses here? Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 8 and 9. Psalm 118, 8 and 9. It says here, it is better. Let's all read it together. Come on, let's do it together. Everyone's got their Bible, I'm sure, or you're looking on it. Look at verse 8, and let's say it together. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Let's go to the next verse, and let's read it together. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Where's your trust? Where's your trust? Go to, you're in Psalm. Go to the right, several books. Go to Jeremiah, right after Isaiah. And I want to show you this, Jeremiah 17. I was hoping I'd have time to show you this passage. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And let's start reading in verse 5. Are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. All right, look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, and this is powerful. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Wow. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 7. Blessed is the man. This is the opposite side of the coin. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. I want you to let those words sink in deep. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in people. And then one final thought is this. Don't trust in circumstances. Go to Psalm again, Psalm 20. I want to look at a couple verses here in Psalm 20. And I'm only going to get through the first point of the message, and we'll give you the last 3 points next time. I got 3 more points on how to overcome giants. But this first one is so important that your trust has to be in the Lord. And I really think we struggle with this. I think we struggle with turning things over to God. I think we struggle with taking those giants and taking them on through the power of Jesus Christ. I think we struggle with that. I really do. And I think that we want to work it out ourselves. We want to manipulate. We want to manipulate people. We want to manipulate situations. And that's what I'm talking about right now, is not trusting in circumstances. Look at Psalm 20 and look what he said here in verse 7. He said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What is he saying? He's saying there are people, they trust in circumstances. They want to make sure they've got the best chariots and the most. They want to make sure they got the fastest and the best horses. He said, but you know what? I'm not trusting in circumstances. I'm not trusting in chariots. I'm not trusting in horses. I am trusting in my God. In Psalm 44, if you'll go over there, Psalm 44. Look at verse 5. This is a great passage. Psalm 44, 5. Psalm 44, 5. Through thee, talking to God, if you go up to verse 4, thou art my king, O God. Now look at verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Or we could say giants, couldn't we? Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. Where should our trust be? It should be in the Lord. I don't think we trust God enough, church. I think we trust ourselves. I think we trust other people. I think that we trust circumstances and we trust things around us. But I don't think we trust God enough. Paul warned people in 1 Timothy 6:17, and he said, charge them, Timothy, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. I think we get high-minded. And we begin to trust in ourselves and in our money. And he said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You better warn them that their trust better not be in that stuff, because that stuff can be gone like that. You better make sure they know that their trust better be in the living God. Where's your trust? If we're going to overcome giants, and we all have them. Man, Goliath, he went down pretty easy, really. I mean, once we decided to trust Christ, man, that giant went down. But those giants that come after Goliath, how do we overcome those? Our trust must be in the Lord. He's the one we have to flee to. We've got to get down. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to trust. We got to look to Him. We got to cast our cares upon Him. Well, I got this problem, and I just can't take care of it. No, you can't. But you need to look to God to help you with it. That's a cop out. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I just can't overcome this problem." And I want to say, you know what? You're halfway there to overcoming it. When you realize you can't, now all you got to do is come over to the other side of the coin and say, I can't, but He can. And then you're there, see? Now you're on the path. These giants come into our life, and God's looking for people to trust Him. I love what Nahum 1:7 says. The Lord is good. I'm going to end with this verse, so listen to this. The Lord is good. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knoweth them that trust in Him. God takes special note of those who trust in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.